Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight, to have this opportunity once again to come before the Lord and to worship Him and to study His Word. We are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness. And we pray, O God, that Thy presence would be felt here tonight. We pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be felt. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost here this night. Help us, O God. I pray, O God, that we would all be firmly focused on Thee. I pray, O God, that our attention would be fixed on Thee and give us the ability to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this night. Lead us in all things that we do. Let everything we do here this night be pleasing to Thee, pleasing in Thy sight, we ask. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we are going to open our chorus books to begin with, and we're going to start with number 13, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 13 in the chorus book.
Just now, as in Thy presence.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's turn now to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way, number 25. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. And let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Go and let God have His way. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. His way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn now to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 84 and sing I Need Jesus, number 84. Praise God. And we do need Jesus. We need him every moment of every day. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we are going to open our hymnals now, and I believe the number I'm thinking of is 163. 163 in the hymnal. I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all thy abundant blessings, for thy love and thy care towards us, for thy sustaining power which has kept us. But you know, O God, that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee, and we do need thee every hour. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead this ministry by thy mighty hand. Give us thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that thou bless the givers here this evening and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we do have a few things to pray about. I know we need to pray for Diane. From what I hear, her blood sugar was very high this morning, so much so that they had to intervene medically. So she needs prayer. We're going to pray for her in just a moment, but we also need to pray for Chuck. I know he's been having a lot of trouble with his back, and I know he had an appointment with the doctors today to try to figure out what's going on with that. But we're going to pray for him as well. And we also need to pray for Joe's dad, Jim. I'm not quite sure what all is going on there, but I heard that he had to be taken to the emergency room the other day, and he's been battling that lung cancer. So he needs prayer too. So we're going to pray for all of these needs right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening on behalf of our dear sister Diane, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that thou would intervene on her behalf, praying, O God, that thou would heal her body. We pray, O God, that thou would give her great strength and complete deliverance. We pray, oh God, that her blood sugar would be normalized. We pray that her arthritis would be healed. We pray that all of her pain would cease and subside. For we know, oh God, that thou art a healer, a deliverer, a wonder-working God. We know that nothing is too hard for thee. We know that by thy stripes we are healed. So we lift up Diane before thee, and we pray that thy healing virtue would flow. We ask, oh God, that she would feel thy healing touch now, even now as we pray for her. We ask, oh God, for thy blessing to be upon her life and draw her unto thyself. Help her, O God, to draw nigh to thee. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Chuck before thee, our dear brother, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch his back. We know, O God, that he has been in pain. We know that he has been suffering. We know how difficult these problems can be. And we pray, O God, that thou would help Chuck, strengthen him by thy mighty hand. Take this pain away, we ask. Heal him completely, we pray. We ask, O God, for a healing touch right now, even as we lift him up before thee. We pray that he would feel thy healing virtues flowing right now. Touch him, heal him, deliver him, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Jim, praying, O God, that thou would reach down and touch him. Praying, O God, that he would seek thee, that he would look to thee as our as healer, as deliverer, as God. For we know, O God, that he needs thee so very much. And I pray, O God, that thou would talk to his soul, talk to his heart. Help him to realize how much he needs you. Help him, O God, to embrace thy promises, to embrace thy love, to embrace all that thou hast for thy people. For we know, O God, that thou truly have blessed us. And we thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done. But we pray that Jim would look to thee for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, Lord. We know, O God, that thou art a healer. We know that thou can do all things, and we lift him up before thee, praying, O God, that thou would change his life, that thou would work a miracle in his life. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And you know, sometimes I'll just have a song on my mind, and sometimes I don't even know why, but the song I have on my mind right now is number 22 in the hymnal, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Dear Lord, let kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just stay closer, one with thee. Granted, Jesus is my dear Lord, let it be just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my we all need that closer walk with Jesus, to walk with him each and every day. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. We've had some excitement again with weather, and tell you what, there's a lot of learning in this, but I know yesterday the girls were telling me about, well, I witnessed it partially too, because I had thought I was going to go to Madison in the morning and just wasn't able to do that when it came down to reality. And I was so glad because about noon yesterday there began to be very high winds and rain that was just coming down, just pouring down out of the sky. And Jade was telling me that she was over here at the church. I suppose you were too, Anna. And, you know, it seems that she went to look out the front door, and the force was so great that she could just feel it blowing at her. And the bathroom door that's in that area opened up, and we found out that the door down in the basement, even though it was locked, opened up. And there may be some damage there. But, you know, the thing is, I got an email from one of our praying friends in Georgia, and, you know, I hadn't realized this previously, but she said she had been looking at the weather map, and she realized that there were all kinds of violent weather coming this way, and it was coming as far as Beaver Dam, and she had begun to pray. She actually called some of the others and asked them to start praying for us. And then, you know, she was just telling me all this, and she was just rebuking the weather and asking if I would agree with her that if this weather was not from God, that God would rebuke it, and it would not be able to do the damage that it was possibly able to do. And I'll tell you, of course, I prayed with her and all of that, but, you know, it did subside after that. I know we had some pretty good rains during the night, and I think I heard some lightning, or I didn't see, hear lightning, but I heard thunder, and you know, I know it's been overcast today, but I know they were talking about maybe 3 days or so of pretty wild weather here. But, you know, I'm just so thankful that we can talk to the Lord. And, you know, I know there's some of you, you know, that are even online that pray for us and you know, just things like that. And all of us, as you know, we join together and we see these things and realize, you know, the potential at times. We do serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. I know I've prayed with Sister Shirley many times that, you know, that tornadoes in that area would go another way, or that they would come near them, or God would stop them altogether, and everything else. And you know, praise the Lord. The Lord honors those prayers. And I thank the Lord. You know, we are so privileged as people. You know, they did marvel when Jesus rebuked the winds over the waters. And you know, they realized that he had power beyond any other, that even the winds and the waves could obey the voice of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, he's the same. And we serve him, and he's our God. And I do thank him that, oh yes, he has helped us so many times. And you know, there's many things I'm sure that we could never understand or even realize at this point. Perhaps the Lord will show us, you know, the, oh my, thousands of times that he intervened in our lives and prevented something that could have been tragic, and how the angels hovered around us and kept us. Oh my, I don't think we have any idea at this point, but I know I've just seen Sister Barb here and realizing some of her testimonies, and how when the deer was coming at her, how God amazingly made that deer disappear or whatever all, you know, so it didn't hit that car. And, you know, nobody was hurt. The car wasn't hurt. And, you know, praise the Lord. That's our God. And we are serving him. And what a difference he has made in our lives. Praise the Lord. What a difference. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here now. And with the Lord's help, we're going to be talking about striving against sin here tonight. We do need that closer walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, as long as we have this flesh, I know we're striving against sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you have a request?
No, just raise my hand for prayer.
Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's just worship him now. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, thee, Lord Jesus, for the many times that you have helped us. Oh, God, we thank you for your precious promises, Lord. We know that we could not do anything without you, Lord. Oh, God, we know, oh, God, we are but dust of this earth, Lord, and oh, so frail, oh, God, and so needful of thee, Lord. We know that we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that, oh, God, thou hast intervened in our lives. Oh, God, thou hast called us, Lord. Thou hast brought us even to this place here tonight. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that you talk to our hearts and that you tug at us, Lord. Oh, God, that you cause us, oh, Lord, to see our needs. And oh, God, you draw us closer to thee, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to worship you. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to draw nigh to thee, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that you'd use, oh, Lord, these words here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd cause our hearts to be pricked, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, that you give us that manna that we need from thee, Lord. Oh, God, those words of life that we need from you, Lord. We just pray, oh, God, that, oh, God, you would direct this in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, that all would be subject to thee, Lord. Oh, God, that every spirit, oh, God, would be subject to thee, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would draw our hearts unto thyself, Lord. Oh, God, that we might see and understand. I ask you for direction and for your help, for your leading, oh, God, for your anointing. In the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, that the devil, oh, God, would have no advantage. But, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you would have your way in our hearts. Oh, Lord, even this evening, Lord, that you would minister to us. Oh, God, and you'd save that one out there that needs, oh, God, to be saved. Oh, God, that you would redirect, oh, Lord, according to your will and your ways in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, you'd cause us to get to that higher ground with you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. By the power of the blood, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Striving against sin, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Luke, the 13th chapter here to begin and read a few verses. If you would turn there with me, Luke chapter 13. And you know, as long as we're in this house of flesh, we are striving against sin. You know, it's a world with many temptations and many struggles, and you know, the adversary comes against us, and sometimes very strongly. But praise the Lord, we have a wonderful Savior who helps us moment by moment and day by day. Praise the Lord, who gives us that strength to overcome by His power and by His might and by the dwelling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and he begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here we have, as Jesus was going through the cities and villages, it tells us in verse 22, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And, you know, he was ministering all the way, it appears. And that simple question that one of them asked, I think they began to realize after they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, and they saw the crowds that followed him at times. And then when Jesus bore down on doctrine, suddenly, all at once, those crowds begin to disperse. And pretty soon, there weren't very many that were really following him. In fact, some of them even tried to kill Jesus. So this question, Lord, are there few that be saved? Of course, Jesus' answer, oh yes, strive. You know, there needs to be an attempt. We just don't get into heaven kind of magically, like some people I believe suppose, or you know, just by entering into a church door and sitting in a pew, you know, just by looking at a hymnal, all those kind of things, or just by doing good deeds. Those are not sufficient to get us into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus gave this illustration about that moment when the door is going to be shut. And of course, he's talking about that door of salvation when it's no longer possible for those that are without to enter in. And that knock on the door, knock, that urgent knock, somebody wanting to come in and crying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But that response, I know you not whence ye are. Oh, we have that great need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. We have that great need to repent and to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, we have that need to live above sin. And praise the Lord, we could do it with His help. But in this story, there were some, oh, yes, oh, yes. We ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Well, we know you. We, you know, so to speak, as we do it in this day, you know, we shook your hand. I know we saw you, you know, we chatted with you and all that sort of thing. But was that enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven? I say not. Jesus says, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. See, there was something that they had not gotten rid of. They still had sin in their lives. They were workers of iniquity. They hadn't repented. They hadn't come to the Lord. They hadn't poured their life over to the Lord. And you know, they weren't able to enter in, therefore. Oh, what a serious message, you know, that need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Oh, yes, we know that Jesus told us very clearly the need to enter in at that straight gate, the 7th chapter of Matthew. Verse 13, Matthew 7:13, when Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh, I'll tell you what, this is a serious thing to consider here tonight. Oh, yes, he's saying that many have entered into that wide gate, that broad way. That's their way of life. That's their way of thinking. They're just doing like everybody else. You know, they're just going on their merry way. And they probably think, well, you know, I'm as good as Joe. I'm as good as Jenny. Well, you know, that should make me fit, right? I don't do that. I don't do the other thing. I mean, you know, I don't murder somebody, or, you know, maybe I don't cheat and steal, perhaps, you know, but, you know, should that be enough? But Jesus said, "To enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." You know, in other words, he's saying most people are going the wrong way. Most people are doing the easy thing. Most people are going in at the wide gate and walking the broad way. That's the way of most people. He said, "Few there be that find that straight and narrow way that leadeth unto everlasting life." Well, I'll tell you what, it is something to consider. Oh, yes, that great need that we have to strive against sin. Oh, yes, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to realize that it's going to be a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God when his wrath is poured out. Oh, yes, when all shall stand before him and need to give an account of the deeds that were done in their lifetime. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to pay. It's going to be worth everything to be right with Jesus. Oh, yes, to have walked all that straight and narrow way, to have entered in at that straight gate and walked that narrow way. We might be the only one, you know, the only one that we know that's going that direction. You know, our family, our friends, our loved ones may all be going the other way, and we might feel like the oddball. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be so worth it one day. Oh, to know that we did that which was right in the sight of God, that we truly gave our lives to the Lord, that we truly repented from our sins and we turned from them. We didn't walk the broad way. Oh, no, we turned from it and gave our lives to the Lord. Oh, yes, even being baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12, and we'll look at verse 1 and continue, I believe, Lord willing. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You see, you know, when we gave our life to the Lord, that wasn't, you know, a grand finale. You know, it didn't mean that, okay, that's the big thing now. We can just, you know, take our ease and you know, do all, you know, as we feel, and you know, it's going to be okay. But no, here, Paul is writing to people who had a knowledge of Jesus Christ, who had come to him in repentance. And here, there is a warning, because he says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And of course, he's talking about those witnesses that have gone on to be with the Lord. He's talking about those witnesses that are mentioned in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, all those people that overcame. But he's saying, beyond that, he's saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, because he realized, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yes, we're in a race. a race until the end. It isn't, you know, that we're trying to outrun somebody, but we're trying to make it to the finish line. That's our goal, to make it into heaven. So praise the Lord, there's something that, you know, doesn't enter into heaven. And that's called sin. And again, you know how many times I've said this, but people these days seem to think that, you know, a little bit of sin isn't going to interfere with their salvation. And a lot of people just excuse it, you know, all the time, and, you know, indulge as they feel like they want to indulge and excuse themselves and compare themselves to everybody else. But here, the writer of this book of Hebrews is saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Oh, those things that try to get us down, those things that bog us down. Oh, yes, those heavy things. Oh, that we sometimes try to carry. But he's saying, oh, yes, they easily try to beset us, get us off track and hinder us, get at us and all of that. Oh, I think if you run this race at all, you know, if you've done so at all at this point, you just kind of realize all the things that try to interfere and get in your way, you know, and hinder you so that, you know, you can't always see clearly. And, you know, you just get beset sometimes, those afflictions, those trials, those nuances, all those misunderstandings, all those other tests, those accusations sometimes, and oh God, that aloneness and everything else, all the enticements of the world that come upon us at times, and oh God, we know that sometimes we're struggling. Oh, and you know, I know there's people that even question, it's going to be worth it, you know, I gave up this, I gave up that, it's going to be worth it, you know, I left my hometown, I left my folks, is it going to be worth it? Oh, yes, it's going to be so worth it when you stand before the Lord and know that, oh man, we've made it. Oh, yes, we've endured it to the end, and oh, yes, we've overcome. So here, yes, we're told, yes, lay it aside. Don't let it bog you down. Don't let it hinder you. Let us lay aside every weight. Oh, everything that tries to get in the way to, you know, show its ugly head. And the sin, oh, yeah, sin that tries to, oh, show its ugly colors also, which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And of course, we know we could not do it alone. We need the help of the Lord. And it tells us in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, I praise the Lord. Jesus is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. We could not do it without him. He is the one that drew us to himself. And he's the one that's going to help us to finish this race that we have begun. And why did he do it? It was for that joy that was set before him, because, oh, he could see his seed, and it satisfied him. He knew that there was going to be a people that would come forth. Oh, yes, that would serve him. Oh, yes, that would be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, that would live for him, that would finish the race. As it says in the second chapter of Hebrews, and I'll be coming back here, Lord willing, the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Oh, that's what he was doing. He was taking our old, ugly sins. Oh, that death, that thing that separated us from God, he was taking it upon himself there on the cross. It says in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Oh, the Creator, God Almighty, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus was doing for us. Oh, yes, that was a joy that was set before him. Oh, yes. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, praise the Lord, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, yes, his brothers, his sisters, his family. He has adopted us into his spiritual family. And praise the Lord, that is a joy that was set before him. That is why he endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, that old cross. Oh, yes. Oh, those that were hung on a cross were cursed. It tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. It was a curse to be put on a cross, to be nailed on a cross. But Jesus did it for us. He took that shame. He despised that shame, but he took it for us. Oh, yes, that he might redeem us and buy us. Oh, yes, and restore that which was lost and give us hope that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be pardoned for our wrongdoings. And here it says back in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Well, I'll tell you what, it was a contradiction. Oh, that he who is so holy, he who is so mighty, he who was the creator, would put himself on a cross. Again, like we ride, despising the shame. Oh, hanging there on the cross. What a wonder, but what a contradiction that he would do such on our behalf, that he would love us to that extent. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonder and what a gift we have been given. As it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I'll tell you what, yeah, he who knew no sin, taking our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, we had no righteousness of our own to give him, our own righteousnesses as we know are but filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, we are all as unclean thing, you know? We are abominable in God's sight. But that wonderful plan of God, that, oh, yes, he would put on that flesh, knowing full well what his mission was, knowing full well that he was going to be rejected a man, knowing full well that he was going to be hung on a cross. Oh, yes, despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Oh, he knew all those things. But he knew there was only one way to redeem us. There was only one way to bring us back, and that was to take our sin, to take it for us, that we might become his sons and daughters, that we might be freed from that awful curse. He took it for us, and what a wonderful thing. So it tells us here in back in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. And I'll tell you what, you know, as I said, you know, we're running this race. We're striving against sin, but, you know, there's those times, you know, when that weariness may come upon us. We might even feel like we could faint. But praise the Lord, we've got to remember what Jesus did for us. Oh, yes, how he took our place there on the cross and what he endured because of our sin. Oh, yes, so that we might enter in one day. Oh, yes, into those gates of heaven. Oh, yes, that we might be heirs of Christ. All those things that he did. Oh, yes, so consider him. Consider Jesus Christ that endured, oh, such contradictional sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For it says in verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh, yes, we're striving. Oh, we're working. Oh, yes, we want to defeat that old sin that tries to rise in our hearts, you know, that flesh that gets kind of ordinary sometimes, and all those thoughts that, oh, try to overwhelm us at times. But praise the Lord, God made a way that we could, oh, yes, endure until the end in this striving against sin. Oh, this constant resisting against sin, as it's talking of here in this fourth verse. And then it says in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So here, he's getting into this detail here that there's going to be times, he says, all are partakers there in verse 8. All are partakers of chastisements. At times, there's times when the Lord has to correct us and even use disciplinary measures at perhaps at times to get us back on the right track. Just like, you know, that sheep that goes astray and you know, it gets into all kinds of trouble. Oh, yes, that's the way even God's children can be at times. But the Lord, because he loves us and he cares and he wants us to strive against sin, he wants us to finish this race that is set before us, he allows certain things to come into our lives to help us. And, you know, as, you know, we walk this road, we realize that God allows it. So, yes, we will make it in so that we will endure. Oh, yes, and so that we will be corrected and get back on the track if we start wandering off in another direction, or we start heading, you know, towards, you know, that wide way. Oh, yes. So the Lord allows it, and he's comparing this in the natural sense. He says in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He realized, you know, it's no fun. It's no fun, you know, to be corrected at all. And, you know, he explains in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Oh, yes, for our profit, it says, for our well-being. Oh, that's the big reason, the things that we sometimes don't understand. And, oh, yes, things that we don't care for when all of that is, you know, befalling upon us. But he said, you know, if I didn't do this, you would be like a bastard, you know, somebody that's illegitimate, that, you know, isn't really a son. But because we are his children, because we have been born again and we are in the family of God, he allows certain things to come upon us, afflictions and trials and whatever all at times to correct us. And, you know, it's for our profit, it tells us, for our well-being, so that, yes, we can continue this race, so we can stand before him. Oh, yes, so that we can be without sin when we stand before the Lord Jesus, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Oh, yes, we could not do it of our own merit at all. Oh, we would not be partakers of his holiness without the Lord standing in there, sometimes even with a rod to correct us. And Paul goes on in verse 11 to explain, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, there's a reason for such. The Lord is using it so that, you know, that peaceable fruit of righteousness will come upon us, that we'll, you know, be able, oh yes, to be righteous in the sight of God, to have that fruit, that characteristic, you know, upon ourselves by the grace of God, his righteousness, that he would be yielded in our lives. Oh yes, would we give it all over to the Lord and let him, yes, subject us and to whatever he's trying to get us to notice and turn from. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Just going to go for a moment here quickly to one verse, I believe, here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And this is a very special verse, I feel. But Peter wrote in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, that's the work of the Lord, as he intervenes in our life and he causes us to see and understand things that we would no way get otherwise. That's our God. You know, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Get you to that place of maturity where you can stand before him, that place where you can become a profitable servant and you're established in the ways of God. You are strengthened by his might. And you are settled. Oh, you can rest in him and know in whom you have believed and be persuaded that he's able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. You're established, you're strengthened, you're settled. Yes, you've endured hardship as a good soldier, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, I believe. Oh, yes, we could do that after, oh, yes, the Lord works in us. And here, back here in Hebrews, he's talking about these things that are necessary to keep us on that straight and narrow way, that chastisement, that, oh, yes, indeed, can be grievous, but, oh, it's all a part of our walk with God. And he says, all are partakers of it, he says in verse 8. And it also helps us to know that he's dealing with us as a son, as one of his own, a son or a daughter of the kingdom of God. And what a gift that is. Oh, what a wonder that is. What a blessing that is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we go to the 12th verse here in Hebrews 12, it tells us in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Oh, yes. Those times of discouragement, oh, those times when we're being taxed, and oh, we don't even know sometimes, oh, that strengthening, maybe even feeling like fainting, you know, that need for strengthening, oh, at such moments it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees. I love how Jeremiah wrote in that third chapter of Lamentation. Oh, yes, he wrote about lifting up our hearts with our hands. Oh, yes, that book of Lamentation was truly written at a time of a great trials. Oh, great trouble indeed. You know, Jeremiah saw Jerusalem taken, and he saw all the aftermath of it, and all the hardship and all the things that he had to see and bear, and you know, the so-called people of God, at least they should have been the people of God, but they had forsaken God and turned into ways that were pagan. And God had to chastise them, didn't he? Oh yes, God, in his mercy, in his love, he allowed the Babylonians, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take them over. And Jeremiah, who's also called the weeping prophet, saw that. But oh yes, he wrote about lifting up your heart with your hands. So there's something about it. Oh, when you lift up your hands unto God, it seems like there's faith there. You can feel that faith, that surge of faith as you lift up those hands unto the Lord. And we can be strengthened by the power of God. It seems like it's a way of surrendering our heart to the Lord as we lift up those hands, oh, which hang down, and discouragement, those trials of life, oh, yes, those things that tried to get the best of us. But we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can overcome by the Holy Ghost which he has given unto us. So praise the Lord, we can lift up our hands. Oh yes, it's like a way of surrendering our heart to him. It's a way of showing faith. We lift up those hands, holy hands, without wrath and doubting unto the Lord. Oh, and the feeble knees, you know. That verse is in Isaiah 35:3, where it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Oh, yes, I don't know, you know, confirm in that case, I believe, means to support the feeble knees. Oh, yes, a time when our faith is weak, and oh, we have these things ahead of us, and we don't know the answer, we don't know the outcome, but oh, praise the Lord, there's a way that God can give us strength that we would never have in ourselves. He could give us ability. He could give us hope. Oh, yes, way beyond what we could ever know in our own minds, of our own selves. It tells us in verse 13 here in this chapter of Hebrews, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's got to be so confusing. These people, you know, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, and these days there's so many that want to say that they're a Christian. Oh, I go to church, that makes me a Christian, right? Oh, I give to charities, that makes me a Christian, right? But I'll tell you what, they're not living the life that a Christian needs to live. You know, I think sometimes Pastor David, you know, when in his early days, you know, before I knew him really, you know, he tells how as he was just coming to the Lord that the young man, Jim Egan, that brought him to the church initially was really trying to live two different kinds of lives. He was kind of pretending to be a Christian, but yet he was terrible in the world. And I did get to know him also, and I could say that was the case with this individual. But, you know, before Pastor really knew God at all, you know, Jim would take him to a bar. And, you know, David would just have a Coke or something. And this other guy, Jim, who's supposed to be a Christian, was drinking. Now, I'll tell you what a mixed signal. You know, what confusion that is. And there's so many people that are living double lives, you know, and thinking they're all right. These days, it's you know, there's so many that are living in fornication and just passing it by, thinking that it's all right, you know, to live with, you know, somebody before they're married and engaging in that which they need not and should not. It's forbidden. People that are living in adultery and all these other sins that people are engaging in and thinking it's going to be okay. But I'll tell you what, we need to enter in at that straight gate. And if we're at that straight gate, we're going to make straight paths for our feet. It's a narrow way. Oh, that we're engaged in here. You know, we can't go off to the right, or we can't go off to the left. We've got to stay on this narrow path, or we're not going to make it. You know, the Lord gave me a vision a few years ago, and in that vision, I saw this very straight path. It was going through the woods, and all I could see is that it was very long. It was very straight. It was very narrow. You know, and it just kept going and going. And, you know, the beginning of the path, it was like the trees of the forest had all opened up and it was light. And I couldn't quite see all the way, you know. It went on beyond my vision. And yet I realized that as I walked this path, that it would open up to me. And I could see, you know, just step by step and inch by inch, you know, walking that straight and narrow way that, you know, the Lord was taking me, you know, not going to the right or the left, not deviating off the path, but going on this straight and narrow way and keeping my eyes on the Lord. Oh, yes, that's what we need to do, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's confusion when people are, you know, they're saying that they're a Christian and they're not. That's confusion, you know? You know, how can people see a witness in that kind of life? But praise the Lord, yes, we want the lame to be healed, not to be turned away by that hypocrite. Oh, who's pretending to be a Christian and nothing like it. Well, you know, I'm as good as he is, but look what he's doing, and he says he's a Christian. Oh my, we want the lame, yes, to be healed and not to be turned out of the way. And verse 14 says, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, I tell you what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So we are to follow peace with all men to the best of our ability. Of course, not straying from the principles of God. And then it says, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, that word holy, it means to be set apart. And God has set apart his people that they might walk in his ways. You know, he said in 1 Peter, that second chapter, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, what a gift we've been given. He called us, and Peter is writing to Gentile people in his book here. Oh, yes. His Gentile family, those that were grafted into the kingdom of God in the new covenant, and how precious it was. Under the first covenant, God had chosen the Hebrew people to be that special treasure, that holy nation, that chosen generation, that royal priesthood. But there was a time when that covenant was broken. And now he has turned to the Gentile people. Of course, that plan of salvation is open to the Jews too, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But, you know, we don't get there by race. Oh no, that isn't the thing that gets us into the kingdom. It's not our background, our natural ancestry that's going to get us into the kingdom of God. No, it's the call of God. Oh, he who called us into his glorious kingdom and chose us and put his spirit within us so we become that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people, those that have been set apart to do the work of the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. To proclaim his ways, to walk in holiness, that way that is separate from the world. And oh, yes, it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 17 here. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See that call to holiness, that call for separation that the Lord has given us. And here in Hebrews he said, without which no man shall see the Lord. Is it important? Oh, it sounds like it's absolutely important. Oh, yes, we are that set apart people. So we come out from among them. You know, there's a separation when we give our lives to the Lord, that holy calling with which he has called us. We come out from among them and be separate. Oh, made holy unto the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Oh, yes, that past, that sin, those forbidden things. Oh, yes, we let go of them. Oh, those are ugly. Those are abominable. We want nothing to do with them. We loathe that old way of life. And therefore, he said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then, looking at the 7th chapter, 2 Corinthians, the very first verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All the promises of God that are yea and amen, that he has bestowed upon us, that he's blessed us with. It is such a privilege. We have these promises. Oh, joint heirs with Christ, eternal life with Jesus, sons and daughters, recipients of his kingdom. But let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, yes, following that way. Oh, yes, that straight and narrow way. Oh, yes. Separated from the world, set apart as the children of God. Oh, yes, there's times we have to do this and do that, engage in, you know, maybe a business of sorts, or if a job, or, you know, a neighborly thing or something. You know, there's times when we engage, but we can't be a part of their sin, or, you know, the things that they do. We're not to conform to any of those old ways, but rather to follow the way that is straight and narrow, striving against sin. And it tells us here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, bitterness can be infectious. that bitter spirit that sometimes gets into people. You know, yes, we're all going to have to endure hardships as a good soldier. You know, there's going to be things that we don't understand, but you can't let bitterness get into your heart. You know, sometimes people go through hard things and they begin to blame God. And they begin to give up. Oh, yes, as we know, don't we, Anna, some of those inmates that we've worked with, they sometimes, they'll say, well, I once had a walk with the Lord. But, obviously, they let things get into their heart. And oftentimes, there's this bitterness that comes in that springs up to trouble. And people let it grow. And I'll tell you what, that bitter spirit can spread like a noxious weed and infect many. And it says, thereby many be defiled. Oh, we don't want anything to come into our hearts, our minds, that would be a hindrance. Oh, that would destroy our very souls even. So we've got to look diligently. Oh, yes, make our very best effort to make sure that our hearts, our motives, our spirits are right in the sight of God, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Well, that's a sorry story, isn't it? Indeed, that story of Esau. Oh, yes, for one morsel meat he sold his birthright. Oh, yes, he was hungry. Maybe he even felt like he was starving. Oh, yes, and that pottage looked so good to him at the moment. And, what good is it if I'm starving? That birthright. But I'll tell you what, that birthright was of great value. That birthright was something to hold on with all your might, all your strength, all your emotions. It was something to never let go. And if we've come to the Lord, we repented our sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we have been also given a birthright. It tells us about that birthright in Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost is that Holy Spirit of promise. As it tells us, oh yes, even in the 24th chapter of Luke, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory, that Holy Spirit of promise that seals us. Oh yes, that's also the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance. Oh yes, the Lord puts his Spirit within us. Oh yes, and someday he's going to come back. For that earnest, he's going to come back for those that he's redeemed, those that he's sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh yes, that wonderful down payment, that earnest money that the Lord Jesus paid to redeem us. Oh yes, so that we could, oh yes, live with him in all eternity in heaven. Praise the Lord. But here, the emphasis back in Hebrews is, oh yes, to esteem that blessing very highly, that birthright, with all your might. Oh yes, it gives that illustration how Esau, who had a birthright, but gave it away, how he was afterward rejected. He was rejected because he didn't esteem it highly. He gave it up. He traded it for a morsel of meat. And what regret. Oh, what regret followed. It says, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, after a while he realized what he had done. He'd given up his birthright, and he sought it. He cried after it. He mourned. He lamented. But oh, it was gone, and there was no way to retrieve it. It was gone. Oh, how we need to value the things of God. Oh, this jewel of great price. Oh, yes, this pearl of great price that the Lord has given us. Oh, yes, his word, the gift of the Holy Ghost, these precious things that are written, his promises, all these things that we can value, that we must hold on to as we walk this road of life, as we strive against sin. Oh, yes, as we walk this straight and narrow way, we've got to hold on to those things that, oh, yes, he's put in our heart that matter. This great birthright that he has given us. And the 18th verse goes on to say, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Oh, yes, there at Mount Sinai, when God was speaking to the people and he spoke in a voice as of a trumpet. Oh, yes, and it was that the whole mountain, Mount Sinai, was, oh, it was out of smoke, so to speak, and the Lord descended upon it in fire. The whole mountain quaked, and oh, what a sight. The people couldn't bear it, and they begged Moses that, you know, God would just speak to him rather than all of them. They couldn't bear it. Oh, it was too much for them. The sight was too much. It was too great. It was too terrible, and they couldn't endure. That was Mount Sinai. But here, under the new covenant, it tells us in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, those people, oh yes, those just men that God put his spirit within, oh yes, so that we could strive against sin and be made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, yes, that blood of Abel spoke out. That blood of Jesus Christ speaks out all the more. Oh, that blood that atoned for our sins, that we might come to him. Oh, yes, that we might be forgiven all our iniquities. Oh, yes, that we might know the joy of salvation, Jesus Christ, what he did for us. Oh, yes, and then pouring out of his spirit. Oh, yes, we don't ever want to despise those wonderful things that he has blessed us with. And praise the Lord, we don't have to go to that mount. Oh, yes, that was shaking, that Mount Sinai that was shaking in the voice of God as a trumpet. No, instead, we've come unto, oh, spiritual Zion, that wonderful city of the living God. Oh, yes, it's not here on earth. Oh, yes, in fact, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, just across the page in my Bible, verse 14, it says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, our hope is in heaven. Oh, yes, that new Jerusalem is coming down from God out of heaven. Oh, our hope isn't on something here on earth. No. We come to the Lord, we come into that city of the living God, the living, the heavenly Jerusalem, rather. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, just to give a little bit more here, there in the book of Galatians, it also speaks of that Jerusalem which is above. Oh, yes, and it compares the Jerusalem that is on earth to the first covenant, to Hagar, that which gendereth to bondage, that which gendereth to strife, here in the fourth chapter of Galatians, that's the Jerusalem which is on earth here, as it's explained in Galatians, the fourth chapter. Oh, yes. Paul wrote, verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, or actually Hagar. For this Agar, Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. I tell you, folks, things haven't changed. That's the Jerusalem that is on earth. It, you know, it answers to Mount Sinai, the first covenant, and it's in bondage with her children, it tells us here. But thank God, verse 26 here in Galatians 4, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Oh, we've been born again. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And our home is in heaven, in that Jerusalem, which is above. Oh, yes, that place where our God dwells. Oh, that's our home. That's our heritage. That's our mother. Oh, yes. That represents the new covenant. That's what is coming down from God. Oh, yes. And what a difference it makes. Oh, yes. That's what Paul is referring to here in Hebrews, that Jerusalem which is above, which is free. Oh, praise the Lord. So he wrote, oh, yes. Now, under the new covenant, we've come to that spiritual Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, oh, God's elect, God's people, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Oh, yes. Oh. The gospel that has been presented to us. Oh, that blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, if we turn away from that, oh, how are we going to escape? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore are we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, praise the Lord. Those moments that are ahead. Oh, yes. And suddenly, Jesus Christ is going to come again. He's going to split the heavens. Oh, yes, he's coming again. And believe me, this time he's not coming obscurely. He's not coming as a little baby, oh, into the world. He's not coming to save those that are lost. But he's coming to redeem his children, those that he has purchased with his blood, those that have come to him in faith. Oh, yes, those that have accepted his promises. And here he's going to come again. And this time, oh, Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only things that will remain are those things that are eternal, those things that cannot be shaken. That is all that will remain. Oh, yes, when Jesus Christ comes forth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that day when the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein are going to be burnt up. Oh, yes, Peter wrote of that, didn't he? Oh, yes, and he told us, oh, yes, if these things shall be, then, oh, yes, we need to be diligent of the kind of life that we're living. Oh, yes, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But praise the Lord, as it tells us here in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he says in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, yes, that's our great desire. Oh, yes, as we strive against sin. Oh, yes, that we would be found in him in peace, without spot, without any blame at all. Well, that's where our hope is. That's where our desire is. Oh, yes, that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom that cannot be removed, that kingdom that we are born into when we're born of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, in order to enter in that kingdom which cannot be removed. Oh, so as it tells us here in Hebrews, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, yes, as he comes to judge this world, it's going to be a fearful thing indeed to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, we don't want to fall into his hands and be partakers of his wrath. But we have this wonderful gift that he has bestowed upon you, bestowed upon us, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might be perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, that we might overcome. Oh, yes, that we might lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that he made a way. Oh, yes, that we can strive against sin. We can run this race with patience, and we can overcome. Oh, yes, and we can be joint heirs. Oh, yes, and we can be recipients, looking, oh, yes, for that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. So as it tells us again here, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, perfected in the sight of God. Praise the Lord in our striving against sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our hymnals in closing and turn to number 278, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Number 278. Wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed before his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.